You are now listening to the After Sundown podcast.
Because the way you said that,
how did I say it?
As well. Ooh.
How should I say?
Bro, you're using some lower tone right now. You trying to see? You trying to? That's why he's using the mic to get the different tones.
You're a guy that can do both.
Yeah.
No.
It's me.
Multitonal.
Thank you.
It's me.
In fact, this is not even my voice right now. Is not low, surely not. If I wanted to be low, it'd be right
now. It just sounds like
low. What?
Like it's got layers.
That if I wanted it to be low, it'd sound like that.
What's going on, man? Why is Armin always like this?
That's if I wanted it to be low. Right now, this is how it sounds. This is me at my normal self.
Didn't you have like a midlife crisis because you voice?
Who, me? Yeah. How do you remember?
You had a midlife crisis.
It wasn't midlife. It was quarter life.
You thought you lost this gift.
I don't think I lost it. I thought it changed. Which I don't mind it going deeper.
Yeah.
I just lost. It wasn't. You know, it wasn't that it went deeper. It was that I lost range. Like.
Because you know when he goes high and everyone's
no,
like,
no.
That now,
I still can't go as high as I used to. I think I've lost some of the top range, and I just had to. I actually don't mind having a low voice. It's just that I'd have had.
Your wife's not complaining though, man. Your future wife ain't complaining.
Hey, listen. I'm telling you, I found her. Yeah, and she's SDA as well. But we'll keep it a secret.
Okay, dokey.
I'm dead.
Okay.
Hey, she's
okay. Let's see.
What that kid from Fingy?
Hey, yo, man, no. I take the degree for it.
Jamaican
thing. Yeah. Look. Shout out
Jamaican
listeners.
Yeah. Oi.
Island. Oi. Let me go play with big boys. You get me.
What's going on, man?
Don't talk too much. You get me.
Hello from The Edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
And you're locked in with the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a mazzoline still.
Yo, my people. Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast. Mm-hmm. You know. It's almost Christmas! Yay!
No, when you listen to it, it will be Christmas.
True.
Oh, yeah?
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, guys!
Merry Chrysler!
Merry.
Merry Christmas! Absolute flops.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
And Happy Sabbath!
I mean, that's going in as well, you know.
And Happy Sabbath.
Yeah. Oh, God. you're trying to make me look bad, bro. Anyway, yeah. Merry Christmas. I hope you get presents. If you don't, it's okay. Give back to someone else.
Amen.
If you can't do both of those, eat, you know, and just enjoy what you do have. I feel like this is a year of enjoying what you do have.
So, what is Christmas? This Christmas?
No, like this whole year. Oh. Like just everyone's had to kind of stop and like just enjoy what they do have, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's get into it anyway. What to do with doubt? Is that's the title, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, literally trying to think. I feel like that's a question in and of itself. What have we done when we've doubted? Can we give like the negative things we've done that when we've doubted?
The negative things.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say like question God to a point where I thought, what's the point?
What's the point in what? Like,
in faith, believing, like what is this plan you're talking about?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay.
And then starting, and also just like, but yeah, to a point where I start like taking it out on other people, just because I'm in this place of confusion, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think for me, what I've done when I've doubted that's been bad is just
kind of like you, but go into like that kind of like dark kind of place of like, again, like questioning, like, what's the point? Or, you know, like when you think about stuff, like there's almost like such a thing as like reflecting too much, and like you can almost like talk bad about yourself, like, oh, like I'm not gonna make it anyway, or I'm not like worth that much. And it's just, I feel like doubting takes up a lot of time that you could have spent working towards whatever you're doubting, or that you're, because you have control over certain things, and it, like, you have control how much time you study a day, and you have control of, I don't know, how much, what you eat, how you are in it. So I think once you start to kind of like take responsibility for stuff and then like move forward, I feel like it makes it better. But yeah, that's probably like the negatives. Just waste more time, to be fair. Yeah.
For me, I don't know. Sorry, go on.
No, go on.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't know that I've necessarily... No. I have doubted before, but I don't know if... I don't think it was something negative that I remember. In around sixth form college time, I sort of had the thought that either, because I was doing science subjects at the time, I was doing physics and biology, and studying those subjects, I thought either there's no way that both of these can be right, is kind of what I thought. One has to be right and the other is likely to be wrong. And so then I started, one, really studying the Bible and really reading the Bible and seeing what it had to say about the world. And then I also started studying what the latest things in science were, or what the latest knowledge was about the world. And I started to find like a divergence, that actually it seems that the Bible has been right about a lot of things for a long time. Like, for example, pre-50s, the universe was thought to exist, to have existed forever, or the world was thought to have existed forever, but then it turned out actually it had a finite beginning point, and the Bible says the words, in the beginning God created. And so like it'd be things like that, but also I don't want to go into too much of the chemistry, but like things.
Well, like okay, what?
So for me, what? It forced me to do a lot of searching.
All right, not in terms of, it can relate to God, but it doesn't have to. Like, okay, that's a good example. But what else have like you doubted would happen? Like, it could just be like something like simple, or like, what have you like? Because I always think for myself, I never thought that I would be the way that I am today. I could never picture that because of certain things that I was doing, who I am now and who I perceive myself to be like in the future. Like, I'm much better than I thought I was going to be in it. So did you have that like doubt of who you're going to become, like career wise or I don't know, it could be like anything, can it? Anyone can answer in it. Anyone can answer as well.
Justin, bring yourself.
Rosé.
Yes?
You hear what I said?
Anyone can answer, that's what you said.
Oh yeah, no, it's true.
That means you, Justin.
am I anyone now?
I'm trying to think of
something simple that like brings us closer to God. Or that we've doubted.
No. Something simple that you've doubted. Like what's gone on?
I haven't believed in my source.
Okay.
Now that I'm 25, I got source on it.
Who told me that?
Three, four, oh, what was it? These people just stay hating, you know. You SDAs just stay hating. And I'm joking. Love you, T. But yeah, you know what it is. Like, for example, when I was probably 20 to 24, like, I always kind of doubted the fact that, like, I didn't have a brain, or I didn't want people to know that I was smart. So obviously I used to, like, just literally be dumb. I didn't play dumb. I was dumb. But, like, obviously now that I'm 25, it's like, rah, why am I downplaying myself? Or, like, why am I not believing in my source? And I'm bare educational and everything. So obviously now that I'm kind of, like, going through, like, obviously education is not a word, by the way. Education.
You know what? Someone would have been listening and everyone would have been like, understood the joke, surely. Stupid boy.
Nah, but like, yeah, I feel like
I appreciated it.
Because I feel like Alvin was boiling this.
No. I appreciated the joke. Oh, I need to get something out of my microwaver. What is it? Microwave.
I'm like, seriously, sis?
Microwave. That's it.
I don't care. That was sick. That's how you say it now. That's how you say it. It's done.
Nah. Where did that even come from? That's microwave.
Nah, literally.
Where did it come from?
Some Bake Off thing, I think.
Oh, okay.
Some awesome morning TV show. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't really believe in, like, the fact that I wanted to, like, be smart or... I was smart. So obviously now that I'm 25, I kind of just took like a while back to look back and just think, nah, I've been downplaying myself. So I've been doubting the educational system since I was 20. You know, well, let's go before that, since Lordwood days. I've been doubting the educational system. So like, but now I'm like, I appreciate it. I kind of regret not like getting the best of my education when I was young. But like now I can finally like, yeah, me appreciate and be like, raw. Let's do everything to do with education and like kind of appreciate it more rather than just kind of downplaying it or doubting the fact that I'm not really on a level that is of people's level or other people's level that are higher. So yeah.
All right then. So would you say like that doubting and age, they correlate? So like the older you are, the less you doubt.
No, 100%.
I disagree. The older you are, the
I think it's all the way around, you know.
I think it's the other way around.
No, I disagree. You know, I think based on based on my experience, like I know, same kind of with Justin actually, in terms of like even like just like source wise and it, or just believing in like who you are as a person and it, like just based on experience, like me at 12 and me at 23. Is a different confidence level in it. Like at 12 years old, like, or like even before then as a child, man could get triggered by anything, but just like, because there was doubt in my mind about who I was, what I looked like, you know what I'm saying? Or it wasn't really solid, but now,
I'd say that's growing in confidence. Like,
the reason why I thought it was all the way around for me,
I was just gonna say in my mind what you're describing is like a growth in confidence as opposed to like
I am talking about that but indirectly. So like, because the confidence, like, you can't have confidence and have doubt at the same time. I
agree with Cam as well, because obviously
like it's a part of it, like it's a piece of the puzzle.
No, I was going to say that, like, I was just going to say that, like, obviously with like the whole doubt thing, I feel like when you have doubt, there's less confidence there. Obviously, I don't feel like with doubt you believing you, there's less self belief basically. But obviously, like, if you kind of cut away from the doubt, anxiety, all of that, then obviously you're going to have more confidence there to obviously be like, mad. I should believe in myself more. Why am I doubting these things? Like, let's even put it on a Christian level now. Like, as in, when you're praying for something, you're praying for like a business to be successful. Obviously, that's doubt in itself. But obviously you're now cutting away from your doubt by actually believing in your source, believing in your level, even praying about that. That's even a way of cutting out doubt, if that makes sense. The fact that you're praying for that thing, it means that you want it more and you appreciate it. The fact that you can now go to God and be like, yeah, God, I want this. Like, I'll lessen the doubt in my heart, but kind of now boost my confidence in knowing that I deserve this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I hear you.
Go on, Talifa, what is you going to say?
I think when I was like saying that I find that I'm technically doubting the more that I'm older, I think it's just because I just know more. So, okay, like, knowledge can go two ways. It can either help to confirm things, to reassure you, or it can cause you to doubt more because you're thinking of more of the endless possibilities that can happen. And I think also when the Bible references, you know, learning as a child, it's because children don't really doubt in that regard. Like, you tell them something and they kind of just accept it, obviously up to a certain age, and they start asking why. But
yeah, rude.
The why is almost like, I don't know, it can be sorted a lot quicker, I feel, at that age. They start to question more when they're older as to why did that happen in the past.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, they tend to accept it. And I think sometimes I completely agree with you guys with like self-confidence and belief and things like that, 110%, because that grows as you understand yourself as a person. Mm-hmm. I think because, like, especially in society, there's so many different ways of doing things, and you know, if you do things a certain way and it doesn't work out, then you're just a bit like, oh, why did I do this? Or, oh, why is it not working for me? And then you may start doubting yourself and your ability because it may not have worked out the way in which you wanted to because you went down that certain route. So I think that's where I'm coming from in terms of, as you get older, sometimes doubt can have a bit more presence in your life. And even like in your relationship with God and stuff sometimes.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I know you've done all these things before for me, God. Like, I completely see how, you know, I tend to do the classic prayer. I've seen the way how you've worked in my life previously. Please, like, do it again, intercede in the same way that you've done before. But then you just think about, oh, if I had to spend, say this uni example, if I had to spend more time revising, or you think a kid is wondering how many hours they spent revising for a test.
Yeah.
I said my prayer last night to Jesus and he's going to come through for me.
Yeah.
I think as adults, sometimes we just think, oh, I shouldn't have, you know, spent that time in the gym. I should have been revising, or I should have prepped more for this interview instead of chilling with my friends. Because you think of all these different factors, whereas a child in their simplicity doesn't necessarily think of all those different things.
Yeah. They believe it. Like, obviously, the thing is with kids as well, like, a lot in terms of like the way how they're just so like, kids are like, I was watching something, kids are like brutally, brutally honest in it, like whether you like it or not in it. So like, I feel from that nature of, and they cling on to things in it. So like, if someone tells them something, like, I don't know, when I was growing up, I looked at my mom and I attached myself to her because she was like my base of security in it. And I feel like kids do the same thing when we tell them about Jesus, and it, like, they literally like, see, where us, like, we have to think, are we gonna have to go through like the science or whatever in it? It's not a bad thing, but we need like solid evidence, whereas like a kid can literally believe in like a fairy tale or like Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy and like literally believe it in it. But yeah, so that's it in terms of that. Because, like, the first paragraph, it talks about being, like, a young Christian and skepticism. And I think Alvin touched on it. But has anyone else, like, gone through that whole, like, kind of skepticism? I still feel like I'm in, like, my young Christian years, because obviously man's still young and that. But, like, has anyone else, like, experienced, like, skepticism in their walk and that? Nah, I'll go. Like, so for me, similar to Alvin, like, I remember, like, I was kind of lucky, to be fair, in terms of when I went to Lordswood, I was with like like I found out there was a few other Adventist people in it. So through the years, man kind of developed our solid base in it. And I remember us having like arguments with like other people from like other religions in like Ari would go off. You get me? Like Ari would always go off in it about like different beliefs and stuff like that. And people would kind of make you sit back and actually reflect like, rah, what do I actually believe?
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't know about for like other people, but for me, I'm always a person that's like kind of open to hearing other people's things and kind of literally taking that on and like sitting with it for a little bit. So I don't think I've gone through a point of like God isn't real. I've definitely thought like certain things that are kind of complex, or the things that people say that are complex, like prophecy and stuff like that, I've definitely 100% had skepticism like around that and like for that. But as I've literally dived into it for myself, that's when the clarity comes, that's where like the faith comes, you know what I'm saying? So yeah,
for me, I guess I should just clarify, like for me, I don't think I was skeptical.
But that is skepticism.
Wait, like, I'll explain what happened. Like so around that time, like sixth form time, I thought like I think this is true, but if it isn't, I don't want to waste my time. Like I did not want to waste my time with something that wasn't true if it wasn't true. That was the way I thought about, that's the way I think about most things even now. But okay. Then I thought, well, really, like there's something in this chapter that said, hang on, I just need to change my view.
Sorry, the definition of skepticism or skepticism is general questioning, attitude or doubting. So yeah, it's not me, it's not it? A bad thing to be a skeptic. It's just you're questioning.
I think it is.
I don't think it is, because you could say, is it a bad thing to question God? No, it's not a bad thing to question God.
Yeah, but questioning is not to me. To question is different from to be skeptical.
But it's so, but that's in the definition. That's in the definition.
I watched there's a guy who spoke on this, like, and he was talking about which mindset should he have when he's studying the Bible. And the mindset he said you should have is one of an inquirer. And then more than that, he said is one of an inquiring inquirer. Because he said, if you approach it as a skeptic, then you are approaching it with the mindset of the hope to disbelieve, or the mindset of you're skeptical. I'm doubtful about this. That's what to be skeptical to me means. To be doubtful already, not just to question. But then to just believe something willy-nilly is also a curious mindset. Not in the sense of to believe God, but just to believe, like if you're going to be given a piece of information, to just believe it without questioning it, without searching that information and going, is this right? Is also not a good thing. But to inquire, to study out a piece of information is the, to me, it seems to be the place to be. The first verse of Hebrews 11, and it talks about what faith is, which is often misunderstood. And it gives faith a footing that we don't really usually think that faith has that footing. I'm trying to find it now. And that footing is evidence. And so here's the verse. I know it by heart, but I just wanted to read it and make sure. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Yeah?
Evidence of things unseen.
Did I? Sorry. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that first verse that talks about faith is saying, like, faith is the tangible something of something that's going to be. And the evidence, the actual something of what we hope for something that we can't see, something like in the future. So, for example, how do we know that Christ is coming again? Well, he came the first time. And there's plenty of concrete evidence to know that he came the first time. I remember once watching an interview where Richard Dawkins was being interviewed, was having a conversation with John Lennox, and ends up admitting that evidentially Christ definitely, there was actually a Christ.
Yeah.
Like, so the evidence is there. God gives us evidences for things. He even says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. So he gives us plenty of reasons to believe what he says. Adam and Eve, God speaks something, and like God said, God created everything by his word. So the grass that they're standing on, he created by his word. The trees that they are, that the serpent sat in, or the serpent situated itself in, that was created by his word. Everything that they knew was created by his word. So then when God says, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, what caused her to disbelieve that? What's interesting is, in this chapter, it says God does not take away every reason that we should, it does not take away the possibility of doubt. Those are the words.
Yeah,
he doesn't.
Because people say that, you know, like having doubt, doubting is sinning, but it's not like.
Nah, it's not. I think it says even here, like, not that he invites men to do it, but yeah, I think it's not out of the question then it to doubt.
The reason why we doubt is, I think it's recognizing why we doubt, and the reason why we doubt in the first place is because we have a finite amount of knowledge, and the chapter keeps bringing that up. So there's certain things that we physically cannot comprehend, which is why we doubt, because we are not able to even obtain the knowledge, of course, that God has, which is gonna, I'm glad he's done that, because I'm struggling with the knowledge that we have at the minute. I just feel like that is, and that's, it's just almost like you have the supernatural side of things and then you have what we experience day to day, and it can be difficult to like grapple with those, the differences, but we have to also rest assured in the fact that, like you were saying, that we have been given evidence and examples, whether that's in the past, whether in our own lives, in the people that we have around us, and that is enough to take us through and for us to allay those fears of doubt. Because if it wasn't enough, then, you know, God would give more if that was the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's easier said than done, but I do have to keep reminding myself of that. And when I go through things, that it's a bit like, monthly, like, you need to remember those things.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. It does say, like, as you're saying, and it does, like, constantly remind us, and it, that there's certain things that we just won't know until we're perfect. And sometimes that can, like, but we know enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's given us a whole Bible. He's given us, like, obviously all of Ellen G. White's writings and that to kind of reference from. So, like, we have enough. And if we search, like, there's a verse that's like line upon line in it. So if you're like truly searching, like deeply searching, you'll find the answers that you want, that you want in it. Maybe not like specifically, like visually, but you will more or less like find out in it.
I often find it funny that like, or find it. So in physics in particular, there's like this, there's a push to unify as much of what we understand of the world, and bring certain aspects of physical understanding together into sort of into one neat understanding, to put it that way. I'll try and put it that way. And I think to myself, what makes us think that it's going to be simple? Like, why should it be? Why do we assume that it's going to be simple? Like, that's the assumption we make, that somehow the quantum and like Newtonian physics and quantum physics can somehow.
No, no, you're talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly. That's why I don't want
to. I only heard that in Marvel movies. But I only heard that in Marvel movies about quantum.
But like, what makes us think that? What you know, it, and to be fair, it is an assumption. It is an assumption that these things will be able to be brought together neatly. What makes us think that such a great universe in whatever way you choose to think of great, as in size or whatever, what makes us think that it seems to me arrogant to think that it will be simple to understand?
Because it depends how you see yourself, though. Like if you see yourself as being created by a god, like you see yourself as finite. But if you see yourself as like the universe came into being and now like we're the most superior like things on earth, and it like if we wanted to kill every animal we could, innit? Like mm-hmm. every single one, we could mm-hmm. kill everything that we wanted to, so we're dominant, innit?
Yeah.
Like even the way how we think about the world, like the world is a planet, but when we think about the world ending, we only think about human beings dying. You get
that's
me?
True.
So that's like our thought process is so like selfish and like self-consumed that like we don't even like
consider anything.
Yeah, like we can't even grasp. Like when I was a kid, I think I've said it before. Like I thought about going to heaven. That's all I used to think about, and like living forever. And it hurt my head every single time.
And I used to do that.
Without fail, it hurt my head. You know why it hurt my head?
Why?
Like I'm sinful. Like I can't fathom that. You know what I mean? I'm not like everything in this world, like in terms of this sinful planet, has a beginning and an end. Mm-hmm. Nothing, the only thing that's gonna be like here is the actual planet itself.
Yeah.
The planet isn't going to be destroyed, it's only gonna be set alight. That sounds mad, but yeah. But like literally like that little example, like it just shows us like, and I encourage people, try it, bro. You will hurt your head. You can't think about it forever.
It's hard, man.
But it's like, to me,
I'm done it, so I can relate. I had to stop doing it,
really.
It's overwhelming.
I think, bro. You know, I don't think about the I know that I enjoy life enough to literally live it every day with no end in sight, if that makes sense. I know that it doesn't make sense to say with no end in sight, but like that's one. And then two, I think to me it's not a bad thing to think about heaven, but maybe instead of
I know.
Yeah. Well, I know you, okay, let me say it in a different way that doesn't make it sound like you said what you didn't say.
Don't lie now.
Like I guess the thing that is that makes it easier to comprehend is instead thinking about the person who is there, like
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. But what I was gonna say is like
Jesus.
So there's a bit that says, because they cannot fathom all mysteries, the skeptic and the infidel reject God's word. So like God allows, there's plenty that I feel like God allows us to comprehend, both in his word and of his character. And he states them so clearly. Like, but then there are things that are trickier to understand about his character. Like, for example, one of the things that we will forever like study is the mystery of the love of God, the mystery of salvation. That will be like, it is crazy to think that God became man and died for man. God did that. The creator did that. Like, and it's hard to, like every now and then when I think about that and I try and wrap my head around it, it's impossible to wrap your head around even like the law of God, to comprehend how perfect it is. For example, like that, if you were to imagine that the whole world kept God's law, imagine no one stole, no one killed, no one like someone said, I remember listening to someone who said cars would just have a button, they wouldn't need a lock, there'd be no locks would not exist in a world where everyone obeyed God's word. It's that kind of like, yeah, that kind of thought of there will always be something to comprehend. It will always be like an onion that you'll keep we'll always forever keep peeling layers. Like, imagine when you read a text of the Bible and every time you come back to the same text, something else jumps out at you. It's that, it's, to me, it's that inexhaustible.
I think when I think about like this whole kind of doubt thing, it kind of brings up in terms of like that whole, when we was talking a little bit, we touched on it before about questioning versus doubting. And I used to watch this, there used to be this show on BBC, Question Time, innit? And I remember when people used to be like, I always found that show like interesting, innit? Because I looked at the guy that, like, I used to watch him in particular, not really anybody else but him. And he was always super, like, obviously everyone has bias, innit? Like, you can't go into anything without being biased. But he was super duper, like, just against the thing, innit? Like, anything to do
against
with God.
Against what? Oh, okay.
He was against it. Right. You get me? From my memory of that show, innit? Like, he would, the way he'd ask certain questions, or he'd address the people that, like actually believed in God versus, like, the people that, like, believed in, like, natural science and evolution. It was just crazy, like, and it kind of seemed like he already had an agenda of where the show was going to go.
What was the show called?
It was Question Time. It was
Question Time. Oh, okay.
I feel like it's happening now, don't
know. No. Not, it was, it's not Question, it might be Question Time.
Was it a show about religion?
Yeah, it's called Question Something. What's that? What's that show called?
Question Time is like a political show, though, as far as
I can tell. I don't know why I called it Question Time.
Is it
Time,
like,
sorry,
the five big questions or something? Like, something about
something.
The big questions.
It has question in it.
Yeah. I think I know the program you're on about, but carry on. Like,
whatever. It's not Question Time, because they've made that tune, and it's not Question Time. Yeah. It's another tune. It's another show. And there was just type in, literally, if you want to search it, it's like, you type in, like, creation versus evolution, and it should come up, like, this white don, like, is the one that, like...
And there's an audience.
And there's an audience there.
I know the show.
And there's, like,
man,
a little panel.
Yeah.
But it had question in it somewhere.
It did have
that
question,
show,
yeah.
That show, like, obviously people really arguing their different points and opinions and views, and I remember, like, people from, like, the side of, like natural science would be like, oh yeah, I've read the Bible and it's the most heinous, like, unloving, da 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 da, and just go in. And I think, and I just thought, so how did you
come,
like,
to that
read
conclusion?
The Bible? No, but how did you read the Bible? Because it depends, and if you're coming to it as, I'm going to, like, tear this book apart, and I'm gonna, like analyze it and find the wrong in it, and kind of, like, put today's
context
ideas and, like, yeah, context, and, like, point at it and do this and that to it, and it just literally this whole, like, chapter has made me kind of think about that show, innit?
Do you think that it was done with, like? Because to me, I often think, if people actually just, again, it goes back to our conversation from last week, kind of, Cam. Like, if people thought, like, if people studied the Bible thinking, I think they would, the conclusions that they came to would be different. So for example, if I were to look at the character of God, and I'd think, well, why should I consider it evil that God punishes? Why?
Yeah, but why would you even get to, how would you even get to that conclusion?
No. Like that. Well, that's the thing. I'm thinking about it. Like, do you remember yesterday when we had a brief conversation, and I said, I mentioned that we're talking about something, and I mentioned challenging my own premise, so your own starting assumption. And I'm trying to remember what the start. I was challenging my own starting assumption on something. Oh, I remember, but I'm not going to say it because it will. It's another. That's a can of worms. But I'll say it to be edited out if need be. I was talking about, like, say stop and search, and my immediate thought is that's stop and search is wrong, or a wrong policy. But then I started challenging that. I thought, let me actually explore that. Is it a bad policy, stop and search? And I'm not saying that I've necessarily changed my mind, but I'm saying that is a process that I always do with whatever thing is presented before me. I always do that. So for example, where am I going with this? So I say that to say, that's the question.
That's the real question. That is the big question of this whole episode.
Well,
where are you going with this?
Where I'm going with this is that's what must be done.
Doubting that you do know.
No, I do know. I do know. It's like that. Number one, that's what we should do with when we're studying something. Like if I'm coming to the Bible, and my initial premise or my assumption is God is cruel, that's an assumption I must challenge, or a starting thought that I must challenge. I must think, okay, well, why do I think that? And see, does this actually reflect that God is cruel? Say, for example, the reason I brought up the question of punishment, why does God punish? Is because most human beings know that if you are that a child who has gone throughout their life unpunished is one of the most vile things you can come across in your life. I remember today, I saved it on Instagram. I watched this video of this girl asking for her mom's lighter, and her mom's like, no, I'm not giving you my lighter. And the mom goes, get out my face. The girl goes, I'm not in your face. Then she gets closer to her mom and goes, this is in your face. And I... Talitha, my own hand wanted to move, but I'll be slapping my phone at my own hand, Talitha. I thought to myself, now it's when you see things like that you go, well, we know that a child should be punished. If a child does something wrong, to deter the child from doing the wrong thing, a child should be punished. And to get them to do the right thing, they must be encouraged or rewarded for doing the right thing. But then we don't then apply that to God as being the equivalent of our parent and us being children.
Yeah, but you're assuming that everyone's had a good authority figure. But all I'm saying is that, like, for some people, when they read the Bible, because their life experience maybe has been alternative, or maybe not even that, just like, I think the 100% the way you're raised and just who you are has a big and the way you think, has a huge impact on like how you read the Bible and how you even come across it and how it's been presented to you before you've even kind of read it.
I agree.
But I kind of just want to get back to doubt in it, because we're going away from that. I kind of want to draw us back to doubt. It says here, okay, God contends even in this life, the truth of his words shall ever unfold to his people. So,
say that.
I kind of want to go off. So it says, God intends that even in this life, the truth of his word shall be ever unfolding to his people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what verse have you read the first time, and then you've read the second time, and then you've got more from it?
I have one, but I don't want to speak right away. Go on, Justin.
Wait, say again. What was the question? A verse that you've...
A verse or a story that you've come across that you read the first time and then you read it the second time, you've gone, rah. That's my own question. It's a bit mad. So when I read the story, oh my gosh, Noah's Ark story. Yeah, mm-hmm. Obviously, I just read that story as a child, in terms of like it was read to me, and then my mom had like CDs and that. Shout out, mom, you for buying those CDs. But, yeah. So I just knew the story, but then I didn't realize how that verse linked to kind of prophecy, in a sense of like it was, that's like a mirror of kind of like what's to come, in a sense. Other stories, it'd probably have to be like the parallels between like other characters and Jesus, and like literally seeing like how the people that came before him, he kind of they reflected him, he reflected them, not in obviously the bad aspects, but yeah, it was interesting to like read those stories again, and like, because you know a bit more about Jesus, therefore you know a bit more about them, about their things.
Mine is like,
go on.
No, you go ahead.
So mine's definitely the story of Joseph, just because I just think, especially like linking it to this chapter on doubt, is that like there would have been so many times that, you know, so many questions would have come to Joseph as he went through genuine trials and tribulation. It's sometimes when I read like the story of Joseph, it's almost just like, will this not rest? Like every single time he got comfortable, something else would happen. It's literally just like, oh my day, just let the boy live, kind of thing. And I think sometimes it does feel like that with life, in terms of it's just one thing after the next. And I just like the encouragement that the story of Joseph gives, really, and how like your faith and trust in God is paramount in enabling you to get through life's toughest journeys. Like, that is literally what it boils down to. Like, if you don't have that, it is a hopeless situation. Like, let's be honest, it is very, very hopeless. And like, I completely understand why I or other people react in the way that we do when we go through these, like when we go through trials and stuff, or when just things aren't clear, because it's almost like, God, where are you, kind of thing? Like, do you not see me, your child, here suffering or experiencing these things? And it can be hard, especially if you've not necessarily got people around you, or it could be that, you know, you may not be able to tell people. So then it's literally just you and God, kind of thing. And you kind of feel like trapped, like there's nowhere to go, there's no way out. But yeah, I really like the story of Joseph, just because it just gives me hope every time. It's like, look, whenever you're going through experiences, people selling you out, people forgetting you, like, we're all going to experience that sometime at some point in our lives, but like, God is in control and his timing is always perfect. And yeah, I just love that God's timing is always perfect, really.
My one, the verse that every now and then I'll go over it and it will hit me is like John 15, chapter 15. And it's not necessarily a story so much as, well, it is sort of a parable where Christ is talking about us being the vine and him being the branch. Us being, he's the vine and we are the branches.
Someone's connected.
Yeah, we're connected to him. The branches that are connected to him.
It's like Avatar. And it's like Avatar when they put the tails in the tree. You don't remember that?
Not an Avatar.
Not in detail.
It's fine.
What? Avatar was lit, bro.
I used to watch Pokemon, but not remember it like that.
No, I'm talking about the blue ones, the movie. Remember?
Oh yeah, yeah, the horse riders when they put the I remember.
Yeah, and then they stuck it into each other. I remember that part.
Oh, come on, you're dirty, man. Do better.
Yeah, they. What they did though? They did. You see how Justin pops up when it's like... off he goes again.
John 15. So like, Rose. The thing that I that comes to me again and again is like, somewhere it says I think it's like sort of verse 9. It talks about if Christ is in us, Christ wants to be in us and us in him. And the significance of that, like every now and then it builds in my mind. And the way that he wants to dwell in us is by his word. And his later on in chapter 17, verse 17, it says what God's word does, which is to sanctify us. So it says, sanctify us by thy truth, thy word is truth. So Christ wants to dwell in us by his word. And his word is truth and sanctifies us. That is, it works from the inside out. So like the thing that got me to like realize again what's going on with this, like to make me understand this verse even better, was I listened to a pastor talking about this verse or talking about another verse and said, if a person drinks alcohol, the alcohol eventually affects how they're walking. The alcohol is not on their skin, but the alcohol is working from inside out, changing the way that they walk. And then he goes, now, if you take in Jesus, and when he said that, I was like, wow, of course, if you take in Jesus, he does the exact same thing. He works from the inside out to change the way that we walk. And of course, the way that he goes on to mention the way that we are born walking is we are born walking staggering as though drunk. Now, Jesus reverses that and gets us to walk straight. That's a verse that every time I read it, there's something new that makes me go, oh, I get it. I get it more and more. And it makes me then want to. But that brings me to a question, basically. What do you think is like the biggest reason for doubting or that people doubt?
Oh, you just asked the question that I kind of wanted to ask, but in a different way.
Oh, okay.
Well done, well done.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going. Because Actually, I don't. We haven't discussed this at all.
Ellen is a bit cheeky in this one, but it's very true. She says that the reason why man doubt and they're so skeptical is because they love sin too much.
Is it not true though? Think about your own personal experience. When I read that line,
I'm not at you.
Listen.
I thought I did.
Well, is it not true, Cameron? Because it's true for me.
I felt like
is it
Tion
not true
then.
For you? Okay, fine, Cameron, you angel. but that line was true for me. Like if ever there's a reason for me not to believe in God, I don't think it's because the evidence isn't there, but it's probably because. It's because I could do what I want with no repercussion. Like,
yeah,
I think that's the biggest reason that people don't believe in God is because, as she says, his law, like people don't want to do what he wants. What does she say? It's too good to. She goes, disguise it as they may. The real cause of doubt and skepticism. I'm going to reread that. Disguise it as we may, the real cause of skepticism and doubt in most cases is the love of sin. The teachings and restrictions of God's word are not welcome to the proud, sin-loving, and those who are unwilling to obey its requirements are ready to doubt its authority.
All right, I'm going to say two things, yeah?
Go on.
Say two things. So, I was reading Obadiah, yeah, the other day.
The book.
And it's talking about people of Edom and their pride.
Yeah.
God destroyed them. Yeah. Because they were too prideful. And they didn't have anything to be prideful about. But anyway, they were prideful people. So pride come before a fall. And also, Talitha said something in a previous episode about you didn't follow God or something like that, or you find it difficult, and then you realize it's because you might not love him as much as you say that you do, something like that. Am I right?
Yeah. Because to obey is to love. You obey out of love, so if you're not obeying, you don't love the person.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So like, you can't say you love your parents, but you like, you walking up to your mom, be like, what, bruv? You get me? Like, when it, like, if you hit your mom,
say, this is me talking to you.
yeah, that's not bro. Me in your face. This is me in your face,
bro. I'm telling you, if a man says that he's hit his mom, nah, yeah, I can't lie. There's very few reasons to hit your mom. You get me? But if he's hit your mom, that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. And he's not gonna love you. He'll never love you. And that's a, and you should get out immediately. It's just a warning to the girl about that.
Oh, what's God. Going on, man?
That was random. No, I did not see that coming.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Fair enough. So I was going to, maybe to bring it to, I don't know, if we're going to close out. I had a question, but I was trying to remember what the previous question, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What was the previous question? Reasons for doubt.
Hitting you, mom.
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like there's, as well as the reason that she's, so she mentions the reason that you mentioned, Cam, which is like, doubting because of our love of sin or because of people's love of sin. Lord, help me to hate sin as much as you do. In Jesus' name, amen. But the like the love of sin is one reason for doubt. And I want to say that another reason for doubt is I think we can read God's word selectively. So So, for example, there's a verse in Exodus somewhere. I want to say Exodus 15 or something like that, where it says, where God promises to heal, I will put none of these diseases in you. Where he's talking about Israel, and he says he will not put, let me search it, because it's put diseases, he will put none of these diseases in Israel. And there's a, but there's a condition for those diseases not being put in Israel. And that is essentially the obedience of the Israelites. So, like, they could be thinking, I can imagine an Israelite thinking, well, why is this going on? Why, here it is, Exodus 15, verse 25, verse 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all, woo, it's dangerous, you know, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So like, I often think when I've been unwell and I'm like, and I'm praying to God, I'm like, Lord, please heal me. I've got, and it's nothing major. I've got a cold or something, or I've got something.
Man flu serious. Man don't downplay man flu.
Talitha
okay.
Rolled her eyes.
So is my monthly periods, but let's go on.
Mercy.
Let's not downplay those either. So like,
let's not downplay anyone's pain.
Hey.
Salvation.
God says he promises to heal our diseases, but then he says, hearken unto my voice. Like, imagine I'm praying, Lord, heal my disease, and I'm there. Woo. God says, if we obey, and if we hearken to all his statutes and give ear to his commandments, he will not put any of the diseases that he brought upon the Egyptians in us. But like the context, well, I mean, you can bring that to now, and then that's the condition on the healing of the diseases. But we will focus on the fact, like we will read God's word partially and go, God is a healer. Lord, you are a healer. Heal me. And we have not made ourselves right with God or do what he requires. Like, for example, God, to heal, God instructs. So he says to Naaman, dip yourself in the river 7 times. If Naaman does it 6, he's not healed. If he does it 7 times, he is healed. There are many things that God says which we ignore.
I'll just say my last things about doubt, yeah?
Yeah.
So, yeah, boom. So, doubting. How to get... No. I'm trying to think. I'm moving like Alvin. Not how to get rid of it, but how to have less doubt is simply to seek for knowledge on it. So... so like obviously apply it to if you've got coursework or you've got work to do or you want to improve in some way, what do? You get me? You have to put in the work to get to that point. You have to read a book to become more knowledgeable. You have to try Like there's verse in the Bible that says, "Seek me and you will find me." So it's not like there are some mysteries, but I feel like that comes that's in the process of seeking, and you're constantly like going back to the word, because again we've said like before that like the word of God, like you can read one verse like 1 year and then read it the second year and get something completely different from it. So I'd just say the way to doubt less is to start seeking. But yeah, we've said that before as well.
That's fine. Repetition deepens impression.
Yeah, no, that's true. No, that's true, very true.
Now I was just gonna say, try and work out why is it that you doubting in the first place? Is it because of the particular circumstances that you're in? Is it because of, you know, certain people have said, oh, I don't think that one's for you, you know? Yeah, like just negativity just sowing them seeds in your ear. Is it because you've had an experience of failure, so now you're not actually doubting God, you're actually doubting yourself? And I think no, not really talked about that much today, but I think sometimes we think we're doubting God, but actually we're doubting ourselves, because we're actually looking to ourselves for the solution to everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to check ourselves and think, actually, am I relying on myself or am I relying on God? Like truly relying on God. Because I think that can help. Because sometimes we don't realize that we're doing it. I do it all the time. I think, I'm doubting God. And it's like, actually, no, you're not doubting God. You're just putting too much on yourself and you're not actually looking to God in the first place to even come to that conclusion. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an important thing to realize. And I think constantly studying the scriptures and promises in the Bible are your best friend when you're dealing with doubt. And if it's something that you're committing to memory, if it's something that you're intentionally seeking and learning, then when you do experience those doubts, it will come straight away. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Power, love, and sound mind, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and one that I like to remember is, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who is faithful. Mm. Something like that. Mm. Those ones that are my go-to texts. Obviously, I've not really recited them correctly. Mm-hmm. And another one that I've learned recently is, it's a different version, but it's, yes, I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness whilst I'm here in the land of the living. And that one's just, even though in the midst of this madness, God's goodness, you know, still prevails, always. So yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Is that it? Yeah.
I don't have anything to add to that.
Lovely. Bye.
Vibes. Bye.
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 Au revoir.